But welcome to the Heart of Worship, part two. Welcome to those who are back for part two. Welcome for those who are here for the first time. As we said last week, actually, I really believe that you're not here by accident. Actually, God wants you to hear something. And even though you've missed part one, we are going to very quickly just recap a little bit just to get a flavour of what we covered last week. And then we're going to move on to something, because worship is good, it's right, it's how God created us to be. And we have choices to make of who and how we worship. So a bit of recap for last week, just a little bit of reminder, but also some background for those who are new. We looked at Revelation 4 and 5 of worship in heaven. There's always been this continuous worship, this prophetic worship, this intercessory worship, this spontaneous and dynamic day and night, night and day. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the living creatures and the elders, all focused on the one on the throne. Never turning their attention to the amazing creatures who have eyes everywhere, under wings, feet, legs, you just name these creatures will be pretty amazing to look at, but never do they turn their attention and go, wow, look at you. It's like, wow, look at you. And it happens day and night, never tired, never bored, never changing, because they don't have to. They are seeing God. And that's what worship is. It's God revealing how great he is and our response to that. We also said the slight sort of difficult thing we sometimes compare of, did you like worship today? What did you think of the worship today? Wrong question. Always the wrong question. Because actually it's God. Did you enjoy the worship today? Was it touching your heart? It's not our opinion whether we like the slow songs, the fast songs, the loud songs, the quiet songs. It's not about that. But we fall into that trap. We critique what happens in sung worship. And worship is more than that. Yes, please hear me right. I'm a worship leader. I play drums today. Actually, if you want to get fit, play the cajon. That's that box thing you sit on and you hit quite hard. It's a good exercise tool. But that's who I am. I'm Garrel. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Just for those who don't, I'm Garrel. I'm a worship leader. I'm the worship team leader. And yeah, I talk about worship. And I love worship because I know who I'm worshiping and what he's done for me. And my response to all he has done is my worship. So what else do we look at? We looked at the many names of God as he's describing God in his magnificence. And actually, the English language doesn't do justice to how great God is, but we form these words and we allocate these words to God, and he is all those things, but he is so much more. And we have to remember that actually God is really quite amazing. We also shared about, I couldn't share the picture, but about stars. Just the billions of stars are up there, and God knows them and knows them by name. That's truly, truly amazing. And then we looked at actually God's hand is not too short to save. He's there, he's able, he's powerful, he knows us, he sees, he hears. So none of it was about us last week. It's all about God. And worship is all about God, but we get to play a part in it. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 145. If you don't have this, I do have some copies. I don't want anyone to miss out on reading or following through this psalm. So if you don't have Psalm 145 or a Bible, could you do me a favor? I've put in half. Anyone on this side? Put your hand up if you haven't got a Bible. You can see Psalm 145. Let's just do a few. Can just pass them along there if you haven't got. There's a few. So if you just keep your hands up if you haven't got sight of a Bible or a sheet that has Psalm 145. Is there any more spare around? I love this psalm because it's, again, it really just, it describes God and how great he is. Now, we are an Elim Pentecostal church. Okay, so if you get a bit excited about what we're describing about God, you can do a bit of a hallelujah or a whoop whoop. That's not in the Bible. Whoop whoop's not in the Bible. But actually, if you want to get excited about God in that way, then please do. As we read it, just if you get like, yeah, that is God, just have a little like, or if you want to go hallelujah or get excited, then please, please do. So follow me. Here we go. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. We're getting there. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Just log that verse for a minute. Just sort of remember that. Let me read that again. We're going to come back to that later. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Get that, church, get that. And compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Amen. That is a good one. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Just, it's all about God. It's all about how great he is. And if nothing else, if Jesus hadn't come in human form, I think there's enough there to worship God in how great God is. Just the fact that actually he is God, and actually we can't fathom how great he is. We can't box him in. We can't fully describe him. This is God. This is the one who said, let there be light. And out of his mouth, at enormous speed, came light and stars and everything. And all came together. As I said last week, I don't know if there was a big bang. I don't really care if there was a big bang, because actually, if God wanted to do something, I think there might have been a big bang with God speaking and saying, let there be light. I don't know if it took 7 days. I don't care if it took 7 days. All I know is in the Bible it says God created. And that, for me, that is enough. And I said, I'm not an academic. I'm not super intelligent. But actually, that simple first few words of the Bible, I stick with and go, my God created. And what I'm standing on and what is spinning so fast, we're sitting here and actually we're quite comfortable. But actually, if there was no gravity, we wouldn't be here. And if we weren't positioned and tilted, whatever angle the earth is, but actually tilted perfectly, we wouldn't survive. If we weren't the right distance away from the sun, we'd either scorch or freeze. Wow, God said that. And that's even before Jesus came and did the amazing work that he did. And we'll get on to that, because that actually should stir us to worship as well. But actually, apart from that, God, in all his greatness, in all his power, in all that he is and does and made into being, that is God who we can worship. And it's the God that we are called to worship. But all humanity will worship something. We're created. There is something. Again, I don't understand it, but actually we do honor people, things that actually become small g gods for us. You may be very sporty and follow a particular football team or sports team, and they become sort of slight sort of idols. And I wonder if a famous footballer or your favourite person just decided, actually, I'm going to go to Corby Hope Church on Sunday and just came and sat. What would you do? I don't think you'd be looking at me. I think you'd be sort of, actually, I'll go and minister to that person. Let me go and sit and ask how they are. And that's not, I'm just saying that's a bad thing. But actually, when our focus sometimes is more on human level and people and things actually take our heart, and we're interested in this. And it's not, I'm not dismissing that we should follow particular people or teams, but actually when they become more important to us than God, then they do replace God, and God becomes lower down the list. And then I would say you're worshiping that person or that team or that musician or that element, and that's a dangerous thing to start to go down. But let me give you a few quotes. These are famous people. John Wimber, he said this: our heart's desire should be to worship God. We have been designed by God for this purpose. If we don't worship God, we'll worship something or someone else. That's not me saying it. This is another person who said something quite amazing. Charles Spurgeon, another name that we've probably heard. All places are places of worship to a Christian. Wherever he is, he ought to be in a worshiping frame of mind. All places are places of worship to a Christian. Just take that for a minute. Actually, we sing our worship here, and we corporately gather together to worship. But actually, when you step out of here, we should be in that worship environment constantly, adoring God. God is not just sort of present here and when we get home or we're at work this week. He's still God. And sometimes we need that reminder. We need to put things in place, because naturally perhaps we don't think about God as regularly as we should. And there's some practical things we can do, and there's some practical things that I do that actually I will share with you nearer the end, and you may take those or leave those. But actually start to examine yourself. How can I, on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, when actually it's not church and it's not, and I've not got people beside me and I'm by myself and I'm in that environment, what do you do? What can you put into place to stir your heart to think about God and just to worship how great he is? Let me just give you a few facts about, well, I put worship in Google. I don't know if anyone's done that. I did that. It's amazing what comes up. It's all Christian stuff. The song we sang, I Surrender, here I am down on my knees again. Guess how many YouTube views that's got? Any guess? It is millions. It just tipped over to 80 million views on YouTube. 80 million. You think that's amazing? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Guess how many that's viewed? 210 million views on YouTube. People are searching for this, looking at it. It's out there. People are searching for worship. It takes a while to get down the feed before you get anything that's non-Christian. And that really excites my heart, because actually anyone going, let's just tap in worship, it's all Christian God stuff. You look at the YouTube, a lot of it is Christian music. It takes a while to get to something else. My feed, you may have a different feed, I don't know. But actually, that encourages me when we see things like that. It's popular, worship. And we sing great songs that actually are being listened to and hopefully responded to by millions of people. But let's think about now just a little bit, because as I said earlier, the great God, and without Jesus and what he did, actually, for me, that's still sufficient to worship God, because he is just so amazing. But we have to have an added element that, for me, just pushes me to actually, I want to worship even more, because Jesus came. Jesus has always been, and we know that from the beginning, he's always been there, but actually he came down for a purpose and a reason. And that's what makes it very, very personal to each one of us. Actually, yeah, we can go, God is great, and actually, but how do I relate to that? God is just so great and above you and me. And yes, he is. He's not, he can't be compared to us. He can see everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. That's, we've got not that ability at all. As I said last week, I can't see what's going on behind that wall in the other groups. God can. His arm is not too short to save. I love that, actually. You think you're so, so far away from God. Actually, his arm is long enough to save you. That's reassuring, actually, because if you get yourself in a real dire mess, the promise is there. Actually, his hand is not too short to save. So we think about this God, and a lot of people, and I've heard this, I don't know how people find this out, but a lot of people believe in God. They don't come to church, but they say, yeah, I believe in God. But the Jesus element, what Jesus did, actually makes it so personal that actually then that's response is very personal to you and to me. And we know what happened, and I'm just going to summarize it for those who perhaps are new to the Christian faith or new to church. Actually, Jesus came with his sole purpose to die. He came, he grew, he had a ministry, very short ministry, and his eyes were on Jerusalem, the place where he would be stretched on a cross. And I mean stretched. They say it's probably his arms were dislocated when they stretched his arms out and hammered nails through his hands. But before that, they beat him so severely that actually couldn't really be recognized. Actually, skin was just non-existent. And I don't know whether you've seen the film, The Passion of the Christ. Actually, they took it, from what I hear, to a level of what they could make it without it getting sort of completely unclassified, that they couldn't actually show it. Actually, they reenacted what Jesus went through to the level that they could, but actually, it's probably so much more. And they put him on that cross, and he died. As I said last week, he said these words, "It is finished." And that is loaded. Not just, okay, this is my final breath. Actually, for you and me, he was saying, I've done it. I've done it. And it's said many times before, and I'll say it again, actually, if you were just that one person, strangely enough, if you were the only person on the planet and it's you and Jesus, he would have gone, actually, I will come for you. And I will die in your place, because that's what you and me deserve. For everything we've done wrong, every action, every thought, every sin, everything that actually separates us from God, Jesus came and stood in that place and said, I'm taking your place. So that's massive, massive gratitude in my heart to think, actually, I deserve that. You all deserve that. But actually, Jesus took yours and my place. How does that, just for a minute, just how does that make you feel? I'm not being a counsellor. I'm giving you sort of just that open question. But just think for a minute. Just think. We have to remember this. And it is all about worship, because actually how you worship them from that place of, that's what I deserve, but I've been saved from that. That's when we said in the Bible, God is gracious. Actually, I don't deserve his favor, but he gives it to me. I don't deserve life, but he gives it to me. He is merciful. He says, actually, yeah, this is what you deserve. I'm going to withhold what you deserve, Garrel, but actually I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. And it's when you grasp a bit of that, and we don't fully understand it, but actually we get it a little bit, and for me, it's enough to go, I just want to worship you because you have done so much for me. That's when it comes so personal. And God is great, and yes, but we can detach ourselves from that and go, yeah, God, you are amazing, blah, blah, blah. But actually, Jesus, who is God, did this for me. 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 I can only, I'm not going to even say you, because you've got to make your own judgment in that, and your own assessment. But actually, I stand here this morning because actually, God has rescued me. It says in the Bible, from the dominion of darkness into his glorious light. There's a massive change. He's rescued you and me. So why have I got these stones here? You're probably wondering, where's he getting with this? Not so long ago, I was reading through the book of Joshua. If you want to turn to the beginning of Joshua 4, it's right near the Bible, beginning of the Bible. It's all about remembering. Because actually, if we don't remember, then we forget. And if we forget, then we replace. We see that in the Bible a lot, of people not really appreciating what God had done for them. Not remembering the rescue. I'm talking about the Israelites when obviously they're in Egypt, captivity. Then they obviously got that opportunity to be released from that. And they reached the sea, and actually there was the enemy behind them. It's like, what do we do? And Moses obviously just holds out his staff and the sea parts and they go through. But then they forget and they start to question. Moses get questioned. Oh, we would have been better back there. Why did you lead us this way? Actually started to be forgetting. Actually, God parted a sea. I don't know about you, but I've never seen that. You may have seen some big lakes and you think, okay, well, if God, if you could just show us your path. He did that. It's not just a story. It happened. They stood and they were being chased, and it was, we've got nowhere else to go. And God just went, whew. One side, two side, dry land. And they just walked down the middle with sea. I wonder what they saw. I wonder, like, fish were like going, heck, what's going on here? Like looking out. But they walked on dry land, it says. And then they got to the side and they started to forget and started to question. And then they did things like build other things to idols, to thank God for what they're doing, or create their own sort of things. So they replaced things. And then they wandered for a long time because people doubted that actually God could really, really do some great things through them. So the next generation had to come along. Moses looks on the mountain, sees the promised land, and God promises and says, actually, you will never step foot in there, but your final breath will be here. I will pass it on to Joshua. And he does. Moses breathes his last. Joshua sets in the place. God gives the promises that he gave to Moses to Joshua. I will be with you. Where you step your feet, I will be with you. Well, not long after that, God calls the people to cross again. And I'm going to summarize. It's chapter 3 and chapter 4. It's amazing because here we are, the people again in their millions, just congregate. The tribes are there, and actually everyone's ready to again cross over what seems like actually we've got another, we're not being chased, but actually we know over the other side are things we have to conquer. And they wait on the water's edge, and Joshua tells the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant, actually you start to step in the water. And the difference in this was actually it didn't sort of go up at the sides, upstream. It started. And it says a lot about actually do something, you step. Do you see something happen instantly? Probably not. But as you step, something has happened downstream or upstream. And then, so they walk through. The Ark of the Covenant is told to wait in the middle. People pass to the left, to the right. Again, dry land. It's high season, so actually the levels would have been really high, but actually here we have a dry land. People go over to the other side. And then God tells Joshua, get 12 people to go back to the middle, pick up 12 stones. So each one carries a stone through the middle onto the dry land. Put it down. Another one picks up the stones. walking through back and forth. Actually, I've walked this way once. Actually, I'm walking through dry ground. What a rescue. Another tribe. Why was there 12? I think because actually God wanted to tell them that actually this includes everybody. A representative of the 12 tribes mean everybody's included. Whosoever will may come. Everybody. Build a memorial, he says. Build it. From the place where actually you wouldn't normally be able to walk, take a stone, carry it on your shoulder. I couldn't get ones big enough to carry on my shoulder, so I got ones I can carry in my hand. But imagine boulders carried back and forth. 12 people, strong people, from the place where they'd been rescued, and they were stepping into something. Actually, it was the promised land, but there'll be battles ahead. They knew that. They knew the people would be against them. On dry land, build a memorial, God said. I want you to get this, so I'm just going to continue to do this. Just think about it. Think about, take your mind to that place, riverbank, flowing, high tide, high season, everything was high. God upstream stops, dry land. Ark of the Covenant held in the middle, the presence of God, people walking past. 12 people told to go back, pick up a stone. Dry land. Just ask yourself, why? Why? What's the reason for that? Start to think about it for yourself. Why do you need to remember? Don't get distracted. Just keep on thinking. This is worship. This is worship. Oh yeah, there's no songs. There's no words on the screen. But if you start adoring and remembering what God has done, you're worshiping. Because he's being thanked and being glorified. Stones. The 12 tribes encompasses everybody. Build a memorial. Can I just put a health and safety thing out there? Please, we'll try and clear this before we finish, but just be careful around there. I would not like to tell Adam there's been a trip or a over the memorial, actually, to remember the rescue. So look at chapter 4, when it says, what is the reason? Why did God tell Joshua to tell the people? What do these stones mean? It says in verse 6. When people ask you, children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones will be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. We need to remember. You need to remember. I can tell you, I can remember those pivotal times when actually God got hold of me and rescued me. I'm not going to share one, but one actually is so paramount, is above anything else, that I can only go to the fact that actually that is you, God. Nobody else could ever have done that. That's not humanly possible. God saved me from a situation that I don't want to remember too often, but actually it's good to remember every so often because I remember what God has done for me. And if you can stay in that place and be in that place and take yourself to that place, not so you wallow in all those self, actually celebrate recovery is brilliant because we're hearing of people who have come out of things, but actually sometimes you need to remember, okay, what you've been saved from to help you to worship. Amen? Okay, God is great and God is awesome, but actually when it comes to you and me, he saved me from that. I want a memorial. So I go and look at that memorial and go, I remember when I was. I remember what I once was. I remember how close I was to stepping over the mark. But God, you, by your mighty right hand, rescued me. And I worship you because of that. Without that, actually, yeah, I think you're in danger of worshiping other things. Because actually, other people get your focus. Other people, you think, will rescue you. But actually, when you think God rescued me and you, and you remember that pure, unadulterated worship is given to him who is so, so worthy. So let's think just for a few minutes as we come into close, just some scriptures that really just help us to understand, actually, that's where I once was, but this is where I am now. And it's where I am now. You sit in this place of confidence. If you want to, turn with me to Ephesians. We'll look at a couple of scriptures from the early chapters in Ephesians, and I'm going to share these with you, and then give you a few things to help you to practically do this week in, week out. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And actually, what you can, I don't think it's a bad thing to actually make it very personal, but because of God's great love for me, God, who is rich in mercy, made me alive with Christ, even when I was dead in transgressions. It is by grace that I have been saved. Remember where you once were. Another one, Ephesians 2, just a couple of verses more, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And we know that from the Old Testament worship, actually the restrictions, the veil, the separation, actually the once a year that the high priest went into that most holy place. And then when Jesus spoke, it is finished. That curtain tore from top to bottom. That wasn't like this sort of curtain. It was thick. It was thick. Top to bottom, because actually, okay, if you did it the bottom to up, a human could be told, actually, well, I could probably do that. Give me a good pair of scissors or a little bit of a saw. I can tear that. But actually, no, from top to bottom. That access was made for you and me because of what Jesus did. So all of us can worship. And we saw that in the Old Testament. People were like, they said to Moses back in that time, actually, you go up the mountain. I'm going to stay by my tent. I'm just going to sort of look and peek through the tent. Actually, God is sort of ferocious, and actually he's booming down his voice. And yes, God, that is God. And people stepped away and said, Moses, you represent us. And that happened for many years, over generations, when the high priest would be, you represent us. But when Jesus said it is finished, that veil was torn, and you and me can step boldly into the throne room of God. Just think about that, the throne room of God. I haven't got time to unpack what the throne room is like or what a throne is like. But as we know, a throne, somebody pretty powerful sits on there. And when they speak, things happen. And when it's got in scripture, actually, he's enthroned on the praises of his people. Actually, there is super significance on that. When we praise and worship, if he is enthroned on that, then actually from that point, he is sovereign. And he says, this is going to shift. This is going to happen. This is going to change. He makes those declarations when we enthrone him on our praises. Just get a little bit of that. You unpack that yourself. You look into that. You pray into that and get the Holy Spirit to tell you what that means. There's not enough time for me to go into that in full detail. But we know worship changes things. It happened with Paul and Silas, didn't it? In prison. They decided just to worship. They were locked in the inner, like the most sort of secure prison you can think of at the time. But actually, the chains fell off. Doors began to open by worshipping. And we see it again earlier on, King David, or before he was king, actually playing his lovely music to Saul when he was in turmoil. It helped his tormented spirit. Worship changes the atmosphere. And don't think, okay, that's Bible time, that's Bible talk. Actually, I believe it happens right here, right now, on this day and every other day going forward. As we worship in spirit and truth, things will shift. And things we may never hear about, but actually, because God is enthroned on our praises and he comes and is invited in, he's here, he says, well, actually, because of this, I'm going to change this, I'm going to close this, I'm going to eradicate this, that we may never hear about. But I believe things happen when we worship. So just coming into land, a minute to go till 20 past, and I want to be keeping with the time. Because some of you have got children who are eagerly waiting for you to pick them up. And some of you are already thinking about the nice biscuits that are on the top of the plates. You don't want the ones underneath, so you're going to go and run for the best biscuits. But let me give you just a few things that you can do to help you in your lifestyle, Sunday through to Saturday, the whole thing. And we have sung worship here, and it's beautiful. And I encourage you, connect with God. Go in full pelt. Actually, don't care about the person to the left or the right, whether they're raising hands, whether they're singing, whether they're not singing. Actually, you remember what God has done for you through Jesus and go, I don't care if no one else worships. I'm going to be grateful. I don't care if I cry and snot comes down my nose because I'm so emotional, but actually I'm so appreciating what God has done. Go for it. Go for it. I saw a shift this morning. Those of you here last week, I think some of you have started to put into practice some of the things of going, wow, God, you are amazing. I'm just going to worship because you are the one who created all things. And actually, here I am, puny little me, on an incy-wincy thing we called Earth, and you love and care for me. But I think there's another layer now of actually he showed his love for you by dying on the cross. And it doesn't stop there, because there is this ongoing, endless, just time after time. He still loves you in 2018, whatever day is it, the 30th of September. His love for you is so immense. It was displayed on the cross, but it continued day after day. Why did it continue? I think because actually Jesus is no longer dead. He is the only one who was raised from the dead and continues to live forever. Just if that doesn't go in your brain, I don't know what does, because actually he's always been, but he was a human being like you and me, skin and bone. And actually, yeah, when he was whipped and when he actually breathed his last, so his heart stopped. 3 days in a tomb, starting to get a bit, but then something happened. God said, that's not the plan, rise up. And Jesus did, and his heart's never stopped beating since. Yes, his resurrection body could walk through walls and doors, and it says that's what we're going to have. I'm excited about that. Don't know about you. So what can we do? There's so many avenues. We have UCB listening on our radio in the kitchen. I listen to it in my car. I create that atmosphere where actually I've not got a desire for any other thing but worship music. And that's just me, and that's, I'm not saying you've got to do that. But actually for me, I don't really appreciate any of the music. Actually, it doesn't do anything for me. Actually, when I'm in my car driving to work, I love to worship. I love it. It sets my day off perfectly. I make Louise a cup of tea and I turn the radio on and something's there actually at early hours of the morning. Actually, I can worship even when I'm making the first thing of my day is to make a cup of tea. See, it's a bit of robotic because I know I've got to put the milk in the tea bag because she likes it with the milk in with the tea bag. I don't like it with the milk in before you put the hot water in. I have to think, my brain has to engage with, right, I've got to get this right. My wife's cup of tea, must get this right. But UCB, radio, have radio playing. Look at God TV, but be selective what you want. But actually, let the Holy Spirit discern you, okay, of what to watch. There's International House of Prayer. That is going on 24/7. Since 1999 in Kansas City, they have had 24/7 prayer and worship constantly. Think about 1999, that's 19 years, 24/7 worship and prayer. It hasn't stopped. Hasn't stopped. for me, that is, okay, I get a glimpse of heaven. It's constant, it's prophetic, it's intercessory, it's spontaneous and dynamic. Tune into that. It's usually on early hours of the morning on God TV. Read devotions, read the Bible, get just something in you that actually you get scriptures that you go, that blows me away. That just reminds me of what God has done, what Jesus has done, and what he's doing for me today. And let that be a prompt for you. Find a place, a sanctuary, find a quiet place where you can just come and detach yourself from the world and just find a place. I have a lunchtime walk, I know I'm a couple of minutes old. I have a lunchtime walk. It takes about 20 minutes out of the village where I'm working at the moment. It goes into this remote field. I can sing as loud as I like and no one can hear me. And I do. I do. I don't care. Well, a little bit. They can't hear what I'm listening to because I have me headphones on. But find that place where you can just explode. Elevate Jesus. Give him the glory that he is due. And the last thing I want to say is a quote, if I can find it in my many bits of paper. No, I can't find it. Here we go. No, I can't. No, I can't find it. I wasn't meant to use it. But remember, just take time to sort of just reflect. And let that, I pray that stirs your heart, that nothing else actually can substitute, nothing else will do, nothing else just makes you complete, that knowing that God is real, he is all-powerful, he is in control, he is sovereign, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, and that's a good one to remember with what's going on in the world. He's slow to anger, he is rich in love. And he sent Jesus, who did something that actually really just connects with me and you and makes it so relevant for me and you and all of humanity. Understand the cross. At the cross, at the cross. We sang that this morning, didn't we? At the cross, at the cross. I surrender my life. I stand in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed away, I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. Let us pray. Father God, we want to be in that place where we do stand in awe of you. Just reminding ourselves today and the opportunity we had last week just to remember the greatness of you, God. And I pray that it's not just fact or just talk or just emotion, but actually it's truth that actually penetrates the hardest heart. That we get a glimpse of how great you are, and nothing but worship will just be the right response. We worship you in song, we worship you in sacrifice, we worship you in our very lives. We want to give you the value that you're due. So, Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to share. I pray my words will just really sink into people's hearts and minds going forward, that we, from leaving this place, we continue to be worshippers, continue to adore you, continue just to sacrifice ourselves before you, giving you a sacrifice of praise. And as you're enthroned on our praises, Lord, you will do something that actually we can't fully fathom or understand. So, Father God, we are blessed. So blessed. Continue now just to do your work in and through us. We thank you for our gathering today. We thank you for what you've spoken into our lives. And as we separate and enjoy fellowship together, Lord, just stay close. May we just know your beautiful presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Bless you all.